58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the Legend. And the Loudmouth.
No, you have not turned into the Beavis and Butthead podcast. It's time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Grant, 1993 on this date, Beavis and Butthead premiered on MTV.
Oh my god, who cares?
Yeah. So I'm like, are we doing the show and stuff? Yeah.
Okay.
Beavis, shut up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some sports. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's do that. Beavis, we're like talking about sports right now. Okay. No, you're too young for Beavis. Anyway, welcome to the show. This is kind of like the unofficial in-between Summit League tournament show right now that we've got. On the show tonight, we will talk about said Summit League basketball tournament. Bison are an hour away from tip as we record this. And they are going to be facing the Yotes from South Dakota. We'll talk about how the women fared against South Dakota earlier today.
Wasn't good.
Spoiler alert, not a positive result. We'll talk about last night's All-Star festivities, which resulted in Team LeBron kicking the living shit out of Kevin Durant's team. We'll talk about the skills contests. We will talk about a big deal in Big D. See what I did there? No? But, of course, this is a, football show.
Right.
And despite Grant's nervousness about the basketball game tonight, we'll start out talking about FCS football. Remember Colin Coward plays the three-word game on his show?
Yep.
For NDSU, do we say back on track?
Yeah.
Bison win 25-0 over Missouri State. Grant and I scored as many points as the two teams did combined in the second half. Where the Bison basically protected the lead, played defense, and it wasn't their best effort, but it was more than enough to beat Missouri State.
Yeah.
Some things never change, who in the span of 58 seconds managed to screw their entire game up. I thought it was very efficient. I thought the first drive kind of, they threw an early pick, got the ball right back on a turnover. Riverboat gambler Matt Entz pulls out his Ron Rivera impersonation, runs the fake punt. Perfectly executed, yep. By the way. And the Bison kind of take it from there. And, you were never really worried after the first quarter that the Bison were going to lose. You were certainly not worried after Braylon Henderson caught that 81-yard missile from...
missile.
Zeb is from Zebby Zeb.
The missile.
That might have been the best and hardest throw Zeb has had all year, but he actually sidearmed that sucker right in there. Just your overall impressions, Grant. It was a very efficient game. It was probably, in terms of their offense, still not explosive, but there were signs that things were getting better. Defense certainly did their job. What are your overall thoughts?
Missouri State three-word game blew their top because they were hot during that game. I mean, I don't know how many penalties they had front towards them, like conduct and stuff.
Well, Petrino got one, too.
It's just like they were, I don't know why they were so mad about, but Bison offense, not totally in sync yet, but you did enough to win. And when it's Missouri State, you shut them up for the second consecutive year. It's like really ask for them, get back on track. This is the team to do it against.
Bison did not exactly, again, tear up the box score.
No.
They ran for 272 yards. Only had two penalties. Did give up the ball, of course, a couple of times. Time of possession back in their favor, 34 minutes to 26. Missouri State really... when they did move the ball, it was through the air and it was the quick stuff. And it, They never really hit anything too huge.
Nothing was too great.
Yeah, and for the Bison, I thought, you know, Zeb 10 for 15, 135 yards, two touchdowns, that really bad interception. The more I, just some general thoughts, and I'll get your thoughts too, Grant. Dominic Gannella to me looks like the real deal. Mm-hmm. And I just think because outside of Kobe, who I think can play every down back, I just like the way Gannella gets some hard yards at the end.
Bussy's your pure speed guy.
And again, he was. Yep.
Gannella can do everything. I mean, honestly, once you get Lukey back, that's going to be even better. But it's just like, I mean, he's going to be the guy. Who would you put behind Kobe? Would you feel more confident in Gannella, or would you feel more confident in Bussy?
I think Gannella is more of your three down back. He can play all three downs.
He could.
I don't know if you can necessarily give the ball to Bussy on third and two and expect him to just dive in there and pick up a few yards. That's really not his style.
Right.
The Bison made a noticeable effort, it seemed to me, to run outside.
Yeah, they did. That was
a lot of outside themed plays. Not as much busted up. They moved Cody Mock over to left side. Dylan Raiden. No, he's not playing. They moved Cordell Wilson. I knew I'd get it somewhere. They moved Cordell over to the right side.
Waffle North Dakota.
Kind of stabilized the line a little bit. I thought that was key, just from in terms of what they were trying to accomplish, get some offensive line stability. Still, though, you didn't have a back get to 100 yards. Bussy got close. Kobe had a pretty pedestrian game, 4 yards a carry. The best running play of the day was Bussy busting off his 53-yarder. But I would argue the Garrett Wagner
play was the best run
of the day.
He could have gotten more yards if he wanted to.
Special teams player of the week, Garrett Wagner.
I wonder why.
Can't imagine that. And then, of course, the standard Matt Enns, we busted off another 2-point conversion in there, which was pretty funny.
Do what you want to do.
Because Missouri State didn't even seem ready for that one.
No. They haven't showed in the day.
James Kaiser took it in. It was 15-0. That was after Bussy's 53-yard run.
Ah, yes.
Jake Reinholz with a 38-yard field goal. Good kick in there. And then, of course, the backbreaker where the safety decided to play right up on the line of scrimmage. And for some inexplicable reason,
the tight end, I got safety support. Oh, wait, I am the safety.
Yeah, by the time he figured out he was the safety,
He was somewhere in Kansas City.
Remember, they say if you can't spot the sucker in the poker table, you are the sucker. He was the sucker. And
I mean, the nearest defensive back was somewhere in Kansas City. I mean,
yeah, 81 yards later, it's touchdown Bison, and they're never really seriously threatened again.
Yep.
Missouri State
is a
poor football team. They will probably not win more than one other game maybe in the league this year. I just wonder, Grant, if you think that was enough to make you calm down, or do you still have big concerns?
I want to see them beat a ranked opponent, beat Illinois State. That's your first hurdle. And right. then you got your war with UND in 2 weeks.
Well, right.
Because UND is playing really well right now.
Talk about what you think about NDSU just overall. I mean, what you've seen so far. Because I get the sense that so far they've done what they've had to do against teams like Youngstown and Missouri, who are just, you know, kind of cannon fodder teams. And of course they've lost to a pretty good Southern Illinois team. But what do you think? Is Zeb on the right track? And I guess I'm talk about that for just a minute.
Well, in that game last week, he was pathetic. And Zeb to me is just, he's good at times, he's bad at times. But this week they really cleaned up the passing game. He did throw an interception. Well, we all throw interceptions, but they really figure out a way to incorporate the passing game more. They got the play action pass into it. They got the 81-yard bomb, which Zeb is known for, is that deep ball that he throws really well. If you can keep incorporating Zeb, what Zeb likes to do with what the Bison run game can, there's no doubt that with what Zeb does really well, which is the deep bomb, the play action, the quick stuff, the play, you know, the PAF slide, all that stuff's going to work out at some point for him, right?
I love Pete AF slide.
Yeah, so do I.
What's the deal, though, that they can't get the ball to tight end? And I guess that's what bothers me more, is that the tight ends were supposed to be a big part of the offense. And
either he ain't looking at them or they aren't open. It's one of the
well, and that goes back to my Christian Watson question, too. Is
he hurt?
Is he not open?
Is he open or is he just not getting the ball?
Is the NFL prospect receiver not getting open? I mean,
are they doubling him? I don't
know. You're watching that Montana State game and you're like, how could they can't stop him? But now it seems that everybody can stop him.
Well, if you're being doubled, he's not Calvin Johnson.
Well, and I'm not watching. It's not like I'm breaking down the All-22 here, but I guess I've just found that strange. Why that wouldn't...
Either Zeb ran out of time, or he just didn't see him. Or he was just covered.
Zeb makes some kind of head-scratching throws. So, and again, he cannot... He's not a threat to run the ball like, obviously, Trey Lance. But if he has any kind of... You know, big strength, it's the deep gun.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they need to take the ball deep, take the top off the defense once in a while.
Christian Watson runs 20 miles an hour.
I'd throw it on first and 10 and just take it deep. You're not getting anything on first down anyway.
True.
Honestly, if you look at what they have run on first down, they may as well throw the ball deep.
Take the top off the defense.
Right. Because if I look at what they did in this game, on first down, you know, the best first down plays they had, all right, I'm going to just look through this with me. They had Cole Jacob run it on the first down play, if you remember. Okay. The next first down play was Kobe for 3, all right? Next first down play, Kobe for 1, Kobe for loss of 1, Kobe for 8, Ganella for 2, okay? Next drive, Kobe for loss of 1. Next drive, Christian Watson run, but there's a holding penalty, and then he throws complete to Kobe for 2. The next first, then there was the Bussy touchdown. Okay, that's a good first down play, 53-yard touchdown.
Not bad.
Kobe for 7, Kobe for 5. Excuse me, that was Ganella for 5. Miller for 4 on the rushing package, if they're still running that. Nolan didn't complete to Watson. Run for 5. I know, it's exciting. Run for 8. Run for loss of 1. That's Ganella. Run for 5. You see what I'm getting at? They hardly ever, first down throws just aren't there.
Tell what they do.
Chuck it deep, man.
It's not what they do.
Chuck it deep. Get the ball to Watson. You need to get it to him early.
I think we're still, because the Bys don't change their offense. We all know this. And we're going to stick the ball down there and run it 60 times a game. Well, yeah, you can do that. But maybe sometimes you have to break off of what you always do and break into some new things. You have a high-flying quarterback who likes to chuck it deep. You got a guy for that. He runs 20 miles an hour, Christian Watson. Give him the damn football.
Tendency breaker is what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well.
Play action on first down. Give it to him. If it's single high, 88 and out the gate.
You love that, don't you?
He gone.
Let's take a look around the rest of the valley as the Bison move to 3-1 on the year. We already mentioned UND's win. We're not going to talk about it again. In the nobody surprised by this department, South Dakota State beats the living crap out of Western Illinois 45-10. This one was over pretty early. Even Jabari Gibbs got in the game.
Yay!
Surprisingly enough. But SDSU, a 26-point favorite going in, easily covered. Western's terrible. Grand South Dakota State has got a got their mojo back a little bit, but and they're going to get Youngstown coming up, and then they've got to go to Southern Illinois. So their season's already kind of on the line, looking forward here. But not an unexpected result in this one.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a quarterback controversy, but is Gronowski their guy, or are they thinking about going back to Gibbs? That's another one.
Well, I don't think with the way Gronowski's playing, I don't think that's happening. He threw for 197 and ran for 120, including an 80-yard touchdown. I don't think he's going anywhere. Pretty pedestrian day for Pierre Strong Jr. But
Pierre Strong Jr.
Honestly, they didn't really need him. He only had 8 carries in the whole game, but. Again, by the time this one was decided, it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Even Keaton Heidi got in the game. Heidi. And not much here. Western, You know, I predicted Western to go 0-8.
Not getting there.
Don't think that's going to be far off. Western's next few games, by the way, at South Dakota State. They get UND at home.
Please win that game, please.
They go to Illinois State.
Nope.
Home to UNI.
Nope.
Youngstown comes to town in April. That might be their only shot at a win. And then they get to go at Southern Illinois and at South Dakota. Could be a tough year for those boys down there. The Macomb Country Club might be a little unhappy.
Gonna reinflate the pool, you know what I mean?
Yep, they're going to have to reinflate the pool, probably.
Slap a layer of duct paper on the pool.
UNI wins ugly, but they do win over Illinois.
That's all their wins.
Illinois State, 20-10. We'll get back to Illinois State here as when we preview the weekend, but UNI looked kind of eh. It was a 10-10 tie in the fourth quarter, and then UNI would... Bryce Jefferson. Man, that guy can't throw.
Or Bryce Davis, right?
Depending on what year I'm in. Bryce Davis looked like shit. And the Illinois State offense only...
The only
touchdown they scored was on a pick six. Or was it a scoop and score? I forget.
Who gives?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It was a defensive touchdown anyway. Yeah. Jefferson led the team in rushing and passing. Well, I guess it would make sense that he would lead them in passing.
That would make sense.
But anyway, pretty interesting that, a 29-yard interception turn that tied the game. But then in the fourth quarter, UNI finally put a little bit of a drive together, and Matthew Cook kitchened a field goal through the uprights. No? Okay. From 44 yards to make it 13-10. And then finally Tyler Hoosman scored on a 13-yard run. Sealed the deal. Illinois State comes to the Dome next week. Their season basically hanging by a thread. UNI favored by 8, does get the cover. Pretty pedestrian effort again, Grant. I just don't think Will McElvain is the real deal.
Nope, neither do I. But this is the way they play. Ugly. either they lose ugly or they win ugly. There's no such thing as a clean game for UNI.
Not much of an in-between, is there?
No, there really is not. And it's just UNI, it's just, okay, it's Will McElvain, Levi Weston, just boring.
Yeah. Kind of like, with Illinois State, I think they're going to come to the Dome next week, and I think you're looking at a very Youngstown-like team that just isn't going to be able to move the ball very much.
Mainly because they're about just John Ridgeway in 99 in the middle. Like, he's going to be hard to contain.
Well, but if they run outside again, I think that was one of the things that they had designed was to run away from.
But here's my thing. In Illinois State last year, 9-3, and it was just a guy, that's if Trejo could move. Now that Zeb's back there, are they going to use the same game plan and make Zeb beat you? I would.
I don't know.
Until Zeb proves himself.
That's why I think you take your shot deep. That's why I think you throw it early, and I think you have to come out against tendency, because I don't think Illinois State is going to be much of a threat to you offensively. That's why you get them down, and you get them down early. You throw the ball, and of course, I say that, and South Dakota had them down. They had South Dakota down.
17-0.
And then they came back and won, so who knows what to expect in this. Speaking of who knows what to expect, all Youngstown did was jump out to a 19-7 lead on Southern Illinois.
Of course, Southern Illinois wins.
Of course, Southern Illinois does come back to win it 30-22, and I thought they were quite fortunate. And then they cover on a backdoor cover there. Southern Illinois, boy, that's a game where you narrowly let the entire season slip away because you didn't really come out mentally ready to play. And then, we talked about it on the show, Grant, about the Bison hangover.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, from what it sounded like, and we didn't see most of that game.
Looked like a hangover.
It sure looked like, from what we were hearing, that there was something going on there, that they were just not ready to play.
Yeah. Ill's got some work cut out for him still, but, it's the Valley. It's this season. Anything is possible. So, you never know what's going on.
Right. Well, and again, we'll get into more of these games in detail on Thursday, but this is a big weekend. It's UNI goes to Southern Illinois. I don't necessarily think it's a loser-out game.
Might be.
But
for UNI, it might be.
For Southern Illinois, if they lose a second game, and Is it enough if you have two losses and a win over the Bison to get in?
Yep, they're good.
You're if good. UNI loses a second game,
they're done.
Yeah, even if they, but they could still beat the Bison. I think this game is a lot more important for UNI.
They cannot lose this
because
game.
Southern Illinois, this is their season right here. They've got back-to-back games against UNI and SDSU at home. So they get, the schedule has worked out that they get the three top league teams at their place this year.
If you lose them both, though, even with the Bison win, that does not look very good.
So Bison, Illinois State next week in the Dome, 2:30 kickoff on Saturday. The other games in the league, we said UNI at Southern Illinois, that's the game of the week in the conference. UND is at Western Illinois.
Oh, good, they have a road game.
They're actually going to go on the road and play.
Yay, to Western Illinois.
UND's got three in a row on the road. They've got the Bison sandwiched around these road trips. In fact, UND only has one more home game the entire year.
Good.
Which is weird.
They spent them all at the beginning of the season.
So that should be by all. And again, I'm still trying to figure out if Otis Wea is that good.
Whee!
Or if the defenses are that bad. The tackling is that bad. I don't know. He's got some fumble problems, though. He's given it away. He gave it away in the end zone last week. Fumble going in the end zone.
Still recovered it.
But he had to play last week. No, he didn't. Not that one. Not the one I'm talking about.
Sorry, it's a different one. Sorry, South Dakota State. My fault.
Right. He fumbled the ball and it bounced back to him.
And then barely gets into the end zone.
Yep. Ball security for him is going to be an issue, and teams are going to start to pick up on that.
Jackson Hanke to look at for that ball.
Yeah, and I think he's got to be a little careful because he can get a little cocky. We'll have to see how that plays out with his ball security. And then Missouri State's going to go to South Dakota.
Who cares?
Irrelevant game.
Who cares?
Around the FCS top 25, we had a doozy Friday night in New Hampshire in the dungeon.
New Hampshire,
where the fighting undercufflers of Albany managed to upend. Crazy sequence at the end of the game. Albany with a lead gets the ball and has to try to punt it away. There's a bad snap, and the ball is kicked along the ground. It's 24-20 with a minute to go. They try to kick it. It's an illegal kick, which New Hampshire gets the ball back at their own 7-yard line, or at Albany 7. First and goal for the win, and they wind up taking two penalties, throwing four incompletions, and they lose the game. Not a good loss for New Hampshire, especially in a weak sister CAA. So the Fighting Undercufflers win their opener 24-20. Granted, I don't know how much you watched of that game, but Albany and their running back, Carl Mofor, looked good. Albany certainly, to me, looked, going on the road to New Hampshire, which is not an easy place to win.
No.
Good win for them out there.
Yeah, it was good. I think with Albany, it's the Fighting Undercuffers, and they did just enough to win that game. New Hampshire had to shoot themselves in the foot. They're going to win that football game, so.
Speaking of doing just enough to win, Jamu.
Jamu,
Janu fights back from the dead.
Janu or Jamu?
Jamu.
Okay.
Jamu fights back from the dead. Down to Elon most of the game. They come back and win after benching their quarterback, Kay Johnson. And he, not sure what happened to Cole Johnson. I think I said Cade. I'm going back to myself.
Not
to go to
Cade
state receiving.
No, he's gone.
Cole Johnson threw a pick, got benched, replaced in the lineup by the immortal Gage Maloney, who goes out and throws a touchdown pass, and then my boy Percy Obese. Aren't you going to crack me? Obese?
No,
all right.
Not going to.
Scores a touchdown halfway through the fourth quarter, and JMU survives with a 2017 win. And they paid the price because they're now a COVID infested campus in Harrisonburg. They will not play Bill and Mary this weekend. Unfortunately, so
the great wedding tan with Bill and Mary.
But what about Jamu coming and having to squin by the skin of their teeth
in a weak CAA? That's a bad. If there's anything, it's a bad win. That's a bad win. I mean, I know the Bison took a loss, but if it's to a ranked Southern Illinois team, I can accept that. Barely beating an unranked Southern, an unranked, okay, third string quarterback Elon team. And he got to play him later in the season? Yeah. Oh.
Speaking of unimpressive CAA teams, Villanova hung on to beat Matt Larson University in Stony Brook. Not a good showing. I thought that the Villanova would be a lot better, but not the case. Luckily for them, they've got Rajon Pringle, who had 171 yards.
He likes Pringles, apparently.
He does. But Daniel Smith was as good as I figured he would be. And although they didn't put up a lot of points, they did certainly had some yardage. But, you know, they had enough going into the game to, or going in the fourth quarter to win that game. Probably should have been better, but a win's a win for Villanova.
Right.
Nichols remains unbeaten. They beat
Nobody.
Well, they may have beaten nobody, but they did win.
Right, beating nobody.
But you know, and it, but it was not an easy win either. It was 31-24, so it's not like they blew Northwestern State out. Your boy Gums with 156 yards on the ground, and your boy Dixon with 115. Their quarterback, by the way, is the immortal Lindsey Scott Jr.
Lindsey Scott Jr.
the third. So that's just so okay. You know. So that was a good win for them. Southeast Louisiana rebounds with a 25-20 win over McNeese. With so much trouble in the OVC, we had some interesting results in that. The Jacksonville State beats Tennessee Tech. Or excuse me, that was last week. I'm sorry. They beat Tennessee State. My bad. I get the Tennessee's confused. 38-16 there. Murray knocks off Semo, who was ranked 24-21. So Eddie Eat Drink can be Murray State with a win there. We had some upsets out in the you know, in the Southern Conference, though.
But you know, when isn't there an upset this season?
Or I should say we almost had some upsets. Furman wins in overtime over Samford, the hospitaling their way to a 44-37 overtime victory. Chattanooga, great number 18, goes for two in overtime against the Citadel and gets it.
There you go.
Citadel 0-6. I'm not even sure it was possible to be 0-6 by this point.
They found a way.
So they found a way there. Just a couple other interesting scores. We went into the Big Sky. Eastern Washington came out, pounds the shit out of Northern Arizona, 45-13. UC Davis gets on the field and wins 27-17 over Idaho. So the Big Sky is going to be, I mean, it's going to be a friggin' mess. I don't have any idea how that's all going to work out. But right now, Weber did not play because of the COVID-infested stuff.
They played one game. One. And they're like number two. Not fair.
I'm honestly kind of surprised about the, you know, the love for Weber without a lot of proof of anything. But you know, whatever. We'll see.
I know.
So we went into as of the rankings as of today. Jammu remains number one, but not by a lot. Weber at two. The Fighting Squawks moved to three. They actually got 9 first place votes.
More than Weber.
Don, including Don Izzo's, who voted him number one. UNI at 2-1.
This is better.
I'm confused why UNI is ranked
because
fourth.
It's UNI. It's UNI. Well, look at us. We're so good every year. Well,
who'd you UNI? Okay, who's UNI beating again?
Nobody.
Yeah. They beat Youngstown, and they beat Illinois State. They're fourth. NDSU actually 1 point ahead of Villanova for 5. Villanova 6, Nichols 7.
I put NDSU over UNI.
SDSU 8, Kennesaw 9, Southern Illinois moves up to 10, Jacksonville all tied for 10th. The Slapnut Sisters of the Poor moved to 12th even though they didn't play. Albany stays 13, Chattanooga moves to 14, Furman 15, EW at 16. New Hampshire, despite the loss, falls to 17, CeeLo up to 18. Delaware doesn't play, moves up 6 spots. Who knows why that is, to 19. I'm sorry, they beat Maine. My bad. They did beat Maine. Wofford goes to 20. South Dakota drops to 21 in the poll from 20. Illinois State, with that loss now, has moved, still ranked at 0-2, but ranked 22nd. So there is a ranked game. So we can. Davis, 23. Monmouth still hasn't played and still is in the poll. And The Word, at 25, makes the poll after... whooping around Lamar pretty good, I think it was this weekend. So, and then VMI, Idaho, da, 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 da. I don't think any other teams got votes that we really care about there. So, anyway, that's your FCS top 25 for the week. You know, again, UNI, Southern Illinois, Grant, the game of the week. We'll talk about it later. But it seems to be that the national picture, it's still anybody's race.
Right. No, then there is no favorite. There will not be any favorite until the national championship game, honestly. And anybody in that top five, top ten can win the national championship. Any one of them.
One other thing we should talk about before we leave the football ranks. Friday is Trey Lance's pro day.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that there are at least 27 of the NFL teams will be
will
here.
Will he be at the combine?
I don't know, but he's going to be. But so he, Dylan Raidens, and I guess Marquise Bridges are all going to have their pro days here on Friday. Michigan. Marquise? Yeah.
Okay.
I guess. Right. So it'll be interesting. Just in case you're wondering, Friday pro day for Trey Lance at the Dome.
Mm-hmm. At the Dome. Yeah. No, that's
pretty interesting to watch what Trey looks like, and I'm sure he's been keeping busy and certainly preparing for the NFL. But just in case you had not heard that, that'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Make another interesting part of the week already, even more interesting than it already has been. So, yeah, should be fun.
Yeah.
To watch Trey slinging around a little bit.
Yeah.
So, let's go and talk about March Madness, baby. It's Summit League tournament time. And of course, or before we continue, we have to talk about the game we just saw, because it was a doozy. And Oral Roberts, South Dakota State, men's semifinals of the Summit League, and the win went to this team. Cue the song.
No, really.
Anytime, though. Yes, folks, this is the Oral Roberts Golden Eagles fight song.
And good God, is it bad.
It sounds like some sort of rejected 70s song that I've heard. It's... Everybody sing it with me. Shout it louder, scream it prouder. O-R-U. Heck of a game at the end of the...
They won it by... Two.
It was back and forth, back and forth. Max Amos, Kevin O'Banner putting on a show along with Baylor Schneiderman and Shireman? Schneiderman? Why can't I get names
Baylor
right?
Baylor Shireman?
Shireman, thank you. Putting on a contest tonight worthy of a highlight. Pretty incredible stuff. But actually, it was Kareem Thompson from ORU scoring 22 points. To lead the Golden Eagles at 15-10, same record that Hickory had, by the way, the previous year.
Hickory,
Hickory High. Anyway, all five starters for Oral Roberts in double figures.
All five of them.
All five of them did.
Jeez.
Yep. Amos only with 18. O'Banner with 14, but 2 of 4 from 3-point land for O'Banner, including 2 clutch ones there late in the second half. So Shireman with 28, Douglas Wilson with 20, but
come Doug, it's okay.
Nothing really worked out there for South Dakota State, who again can't get to the championship game and chokes away yet another chance at Summit League glory. And Grant, you watched all this game. We said it on the show that we thought Oral Roberts was going to win this tournament, and they did.
Yeah. South Dakota State is always a team I can never understand, because they have one of the best teams in this league. All you look at their roster top to bottom, it's by far the best in the Summit League.
No question.
Douglas Wilson, the JUCO player of the year, comes over here and is one of the better players in this league. Shireman's really good. Detlinger's been fantastic. I just don't know what's the deal with them. They have one of the better front courts in this league, and yet they can't more the second round exit.
They only went 7 guys deep tonight. And I know
that's always been their problem, though.
Friedel is, I know, again, not on the roster.
No, that's been their problem for years. They don't rely on more than 2 guys off the bench. They don't go 8 to 10 deep like the Bison do. They rely on more than just 2 guys off the bench. It's ridiculous. They don't rely, because with the Bison, there's more than just Jarius Cook off the bench. There's more than just guys. There are more guys they can rotate off the bench they can use. It annoys the hell out of me that South Dakota State doesn't do more, but I'm happy they did, because they lost.
Amos played all 40 minutes.
Shocking.
Which I know is no surprise. Carlos Juergens, the big, their kind of swing guy, he played all 40 minutes.
Shocking.
O'Banner was in foul trouble. Again, shocking.
Shocking.
He picked up 4. And Oral Roberts got into some serious foul trouble late in the game. But at the same time, what did I say was going to burn South Dakota State at this free throw shooting?
Yep,
it did. And you need to only look at the stats. Oral Roberts at the line tonight, 14 for 14. South Dakota State, 14 of 21.
Oof.
And again, I know stats are not always the most exciting parts of things to look at when you're looking at games, but you can't tell me that looking at that stat, when you are South Dakota State and you shoot 66% at the line, let's call it 67 to be generous. Okay, you shot 67% at the line tonight. You only needed to make three more free throws tonight. Okay?
Yep.
And you would have won this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to the line 21 times and made 14. Mm-hmm. You shot below your season average at the free throw line. Yet, you still managed to come within a whisker of winning the game. And you hit, bomba threes down the stretch. Shireman's going insane scoring. And yet,
I hate that guy.
And yet, if you'd have just shot your percentage of free throws that you made during the year, if you'd have gone 16 for 21 instead of 14, you shoot above your average, you win. You win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of good South Dakota did, it vanished on them at the line. And I don't think...
It's going to be a sad day tomorrow in Brookings. The men are out, the women are out. Oh,
yeah,
great day.
I just don't understand why the team that talented struggles like that at the free throw line.
Well, they struggle in the tournament in general.
But I think it's because you don't do the little things well, because they're... Look at the South Dakota State teams, the Flash teams, the Doms, and the Walters, and all these guys that are so great. But yet, when it comes down to it, they're not a factor in getting to the tournament.
Or even when they get there. Zero tournament wins. You've been there more than the Bison have. Zero tournament wins. The Bison have two.
And so the saving grace for South Dakota State is they will be able to get into the NIT.
Who cares?
Because they did have a chance to, winning the conference title, they will play in the NIT.
Who cares?
Get blown out by somebody.
The not in tournament?
The not invited tournament, right.
The not in tournament.
So, or you, who both you and I predicted to win this thing,
you
advances to the final, and here coming up in shortly, Bison, South Dakota. Now, the Bison last night...
up 22, win by five.
Grant Nelson slams one home with the protective face gear on. 52-30.
This game's over, right?
Right. And then all of a sudden, we have forgotten how to play
basketball.
Defense. And the Bison get into that tentative, not swinging it around, settling for bad shots, missing at the free throw line.
It's greasy time under 10 seconds. Yep. Never goes in.
It's greasy iso ball at the top of the key because it ain't easy.
Being greasy.
And... it gets down to a two-point game. And thank God that Rocky Cruiser
could play defense for 2 seconds.
Yeah, Rocky had an insane evening.
And then blame Kansas City for forgetting to foul for about 2 seconds after he missed the shot.
And so then Tyree Edey goes down, knocks down a pair, and the Bison...
I want a timeout!
...escape with the win. And again, Bison are number 3 in the conference in free throws, so they knew how to put it away at the line. Their rebounding played a key... But, man, they let a really mediocre offensive team come from 22 down to get him and almost beat
him. That's my concern with Rocky sometimes. He hasn't played great defense for all 40 minutes. That first half, he controlled Alec, or whatever his name was, inside for KC.
Right.
And he had him for the first half. That second half, he had like 16 points in the second half.
It was really just such a different, ball game. Alec was the guy, right? You're talking about, 23. He scored 23.
Yeah.
And... On really some interesting shots, to say the least. But the other thing that bothered me about that is, we've seen that game before, and it happened against South Dakota State, where the Bison took that big lead and, hung on by their fingernails to win.
I'm really surprised they didn't trap till the very end of that game. Because I thought, if the Jacks made them trap and they almost collapsed, KC's for sure going to trap, right? Well, they did, but it was already over by the time they did.
So the Bison get USD, who was an easy winner over Western Illinois in the Saturday quarterfinal, 86-69. So that sets up the battle tonight. And I guess as I look at this before we go on the before we go to the women's side, I think the Bison tonight are going to need probably almost the same type of game from Cruiser they got last night. He's going to have a tough time in this game duplicating that. And the other thing is going to be, how does South Dakota respond without their leading scorer in the lineup? Their, you know, Putzelwhite, who's out. How do they respond tonight? How do they respond without their leading scorer, heart and soul, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah.
Last year, Amude kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
He was not a major factor. And I don't know if he's going to be like that this year, but he certainly got some better surrounding supporting cast. Xavier Fuller's pretty decent. But no, Tesos Comateros is pretty decent.
I haven't seen a lot of South Dakota's play.
No, so and the other one we got to watch tonight is Cruz Parrot Hunt. He of the three names will be the other one.
Cruz going on a Parrot Hunt.
So let's see how they respond without they spread it around. It is what they basically did. All right, they spread it around in these games, or in this game against Western Illinois. I wonder if they'll do the same thing. Because the last time the Bison and South Dakota played, don't forget, it ain't easy being greasy, dominated, but Amude had 39. And that was a game where they were a little shell-shocked because Putzelwhite got hurt. And Camateros scored 22 to carry him, but nobody else really did anything in the entire game. And without Putzelwhite in there, who, you know, scored 20 in the game where the Bison lost by 9 a few weeks ago, Amude, though, it's one of those deals where is Amude going to get his 25 and you just don't let anybody else beat you? Or is it one of these games where they try to take him away so much and see if one of the other guys can step up? I don't know what the right answer is.
No, but the Bison will play their best defensive basketball this season. I mean, they play a pretty good brand of defensive basketball to begin with. But on offense, you got to get it to somebody other than Grizzle under 10 seconds. It's annoying. Pass around the paint. Get inside, kick it out, nothing's there. Pass around. It's just, could you be any more creative than just passing around the perimeter the whole time?
I think this game's a coin flip tonight. Absolute coin flip.
If you flipped it 10 times, that'd be 6-4 NDSU, I mean, honestly.
And the odds makers would say that the Bison are 3-point favorites.
At this point, I wouldn't even put numbers next to these two teams because they are dead even. I mean, honestly, I don't think you could put two and three means nothing to this game.
And honestly, regardless of who wins, I'm not changing my pick. I think Oral Roberts is going to win this tournament.
You feel that confident about that?
Yeah, I do. Nothing the Bison showed me last night gives me.
What if they blow out South Dakota tonight?
Doesn't matter.
Really, you're just that concerned that they're just gonna go right past NDSU.
I think,
even though they split in Fargo,
I think the Bison are susceptible to teams like ORU that can rebound with O'Banner and versatile guys that can step out and shoot threes like that. I think Amos is gonna kill him. I think the fact that he had a down game in this game, in the last few, I don't think he's played his best game of the tournament yet, and that's. That's what I worry about, and again, you've made the point. Who's going to guard him?
Who is going to guard him? I don't know.
Griesel can't stay with him. The only thing Griesel can provide is a little bit of bounce and size against him, but it's going to be tough to defend him.
If I were them, I'd throw Lincoln Cardenhays on him. He's 6'7". He's a long wingspan. At least put contact on that shot. At least pressure him. I mean,
you can't really get into a foul game with them because they're the second best free throw shooter.
But there's only so much.
And they didn't miss one tonight. They didn't miss a single free throw.
But there's only so much you can do. I mean, you just got to take away. I would rather have, you know, whether other guy was making threes, but make them beat you, not those two.
Can you score?
I think Cruz has got at least four fouls if they played Oral Roberts.
Can the Bison score 85?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they can score 85.
What if you want to field the team to 75?
Well, then that's okay. But
again, if it's a lower scoring game, I favor the Bison. If it goes into the 80s and 90s, then yeah, I'd probably take Oral Roberts. But you're just at the point where if you're NDSU, you got to get the score lower, like at UMKC.
Let's keep in mind that Oral Roberts got held to 49 that one night. when they came to Fargo and got their ass. I'm sorry, that's the women's score.
That's the women's score.
I was gonna say that didn't that seem right. That right didn't seem right to me. I'm sorry. I had that stat and I clicked on the wrong thing. Let's try this again. The Bison, when they played ORU back in February, they owned the 54 was the number I was going for.
54.
But the Bison won that game 61-54.
That's good enough for the Bison. Yep. Hold them.
And then the other on the other night, side of that night, on the next night, it was 80-74.
Again, so just like with UMKC.
Can the Bison get to 80?
Can they get to 75 and hold them to 64? I mean, if you
ORU scores 81.5 a game, that obviously goes up after what they
did. If you can hold Oral Roberts to 70 or less, they got a good shot at winning this game. Now, if they go 77, 79, 84, that's when ORU wins this game. That's why I know Amos is on his mark. O'Banner's unstoppable down there. It's like when the takeover, the X Factor happens. It's on. There's nothing you can do about it.
So, I worry about the Bison being able to score.
My worry on defense is Cruiser, because he's good. He's a good defender, but he commits so many fouls.
He can't get in any foul trouble. They're going to be stunk. Or they're going to be sunk.
I mean, they almost sucked last night with Edie and Griesel both having four fouls. I mean, they cannot get into.
They're going to need. Trouble. They're going to need a nice night from Jarius Cook again, who really came up with some big shots. They're going to need a guy like that to come and have a nice. Harden Hayes would be the other kind of guy I could see who will need to score.
Does Griesel just not shoot threes anymore? Like, is he just done with threes? Because he shot a lot just for this first.
Well, Griesel is now your get to the line guy, because he'll drive and just get hammered to go to the free throw line. What was he, like 3 of 14 last night?
Yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah, but it's freshman year. He was hitting threes left and right. And then the longest North Carolina Central.
Yeah, but his role, game. But his role on the offense is different.
That's true. He is a point guard now.
When you look at what Vinny Shaheed and Tyson Ward did, it freed Griesel up to be that guy. Now he can't be that guy in this offense, and that's a much more difficult proposition to be the distributor and to be the go-to guy than it is when you know at best you are the third scoring option. When you had Shaheed and Ward, they were always your first two scoring options in whatever order.
And then you had
Rocky,
and then Samuelson, and then you
had right. But if, as a primary scorer, you were that at best. The fourth or fifth option. Now he is the option. I mean, I don't think they have a go-to scorer. They still don't. It's worked for him.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worked for him.
At some point in these next recruiting classes, you got to get that three-point guy in your starting line, but Samuelson was. Maybe it's Jarius Cook. Maybe they already got one. But there isn't a go-to scorer. They desperately need one.
Right. But they're going to try to have to win it this way with this kind of run. Let's go to the women's side and the... Wow, this thing got ugly early when Omaha, just to get to the perspective of the tournament, Omaha goes in, beats South Dakota State, who hadn't lost a league game all year and were 21-2, loses to Omaha.
It was terrible.
By the way, Omaha not only won, beat SDSU in the opener.
They beat Western Illinois.
But then they beat Western Illinois, so they're going to play for the league championship.
Against South Dakota.
Right, and unfortunately that means that the Bison were never really in it today very long against South Dakota. Does not change the fact that Jory Collins should have been Coach of the Year. Does not change the fact that this team, even though they got blown out today, is not
about. He's taking them the right direction. That's all.
They are where they. I don't consider this a disappointment for the Bison at all.
You know they're heading in the right direction when they beat the Jacks or the Coyotes next season. If they just win one,
that's the next level, right?
That's a big step forward for this.
But that's where they need to get next.
Yeah, that's what, get there and then get back to the semis and maybe make another run towards the title game again. But the next 5 years, they're going to be something to watch.
Well, and today they just looked like they were outclassed, and that. You know, Cobbins had a pretty quiet game. She's normally needs to be a little more explained. Heaven Hamling got hurt. A lot of things didn't quite go their way. Bottom line is that this team has some toughness. And when you're playing athletes, and I had not seen South Dakota play much this year except for a little bit against South Dakota State. South Dakota State has got some athletes. They've got Hannah Sherbin in the middle. She's really good. They've got Chloe Lamb is really good. They've got some shooters. And the Bison, despite their athletic, they're definitely a better team athletically and away from the ball. And they definitely have some better shooters. The next phase for them now is having an inside presence that's tougher. Dietz is fine, but she's never going to be. She's outmatched and outclassed against a Hannah Shervin or a Tylee Irwin or some of these others. And that'll come. And they're young. But I think Jory Collins did a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm. He should have won Coach of the Year. How he didn't win is beyond me. I mean, I did not give a guy who took a down-and-out basketball program to third in the conference.
Right.
That's just not fair. But they're heading in the right direction, and this is better what Marin did in her tenure. Oh, so
that's horrible.
Yeah.
So
horrible is an understatement.
What she did was an abomination.
She drove it further into the ground.
Drove it way back into the ground, for sure. I was disappointed they weren't more competitive today.
I'm not.
But
they're better. South Dakota's is that much better.
Yeah, well, they showed it today, and kudos to them. And they're probably going to. Interestingly, they have not played Omaha. The two of the Corona games that wiped them out were supposed to be against Omaha. So
that
maybe
doesn't, that doesn't matter.
Maybe they'll take advantage and be surprised.
They're going to blow them out.
You think so?
Blow them out.
All right. Well, let's get on to the professional ranks. All-Star, well, it used to be called All-Star Weekend.
That's All-Star Day.
Now it's all been compressed and smashed into one big day. So, Team LeBron
kicks the living crap
shit out of Durant. It's a game that's a mockery of itself. I mean, let's get to the fact that I don't think there was a mid-range jumper made in the entire game. You like that part? Yeah, okay. So, I just thought, watching that All-Star game, I'm like, Steph Curry is shooting shots from 45 feet like it's routine and making every one of them.
From the tee and All-Star, too.
Ugh. I know I'm supposed to be evolving with the modern-day NBA.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't.
It's just a sign of the times, man. There are no more 7-3 Mark Eatons just taking the ball inside and scoring. That's way gone.
Let me tell you what the field goal percentages were in this game. Team LeBron shot 63%. Team Durant shot 52%. Here's the ultimate stat you need to know. 3-point attempts in the game. Team LeBron, 31 of 61.
61!
There are 107 field goals attempted. 61 were three-pointers. Durant's team, even worse, they were 27 of 72 from the three-point line, and they shot 114 attempts in the whole game. So, 200 and, Fargo South Math tells me that's 221 field goal attempts, of which 133 were three-pointers.
Honestly.
Wow. That's unbelievable. By the way, there were approximately... there were 93 assists. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Out of 128 made baskets, there were 93 assists. Okay. All kidding aside, we all know what the All-Star game is. It's a, shoot fest. But still, Antetokounmpo, 16 of 16, and he's the MVP. Antetokounmpo is 35. Dame Lillard, 32, including the Dame-called game at the end.
The winner.
LeBron had four.
Four.
That's got to be a record for fewest points.
I don't think he cared either. So.
For Team Durant, which was neither Team nor Durant, Bradley Beal was the leading scorer with 26, Harden 21, Irving 24, Tatum 20. You knew they weren't winning this game when it started.
You knew from the minute those teams were selected, LeBron is winning this game by at least 20 points.
Ugh.
And he did.
And he did.
When you draft Giannis and Curry with your first two picks, you're going to win every single time.
In the skills contest, the Taco Bell skills challenge.
This big man rule.
So, we both had Luka Doncic in that one.
Nope.
That didn't
work
out too well. So, it wasn't much of a skills challenge, was it?
No, it's just the go between the cones, make the shot, make the layup, go back down, hit a three.
So, young Mr. Sabonis taking his skills challenge title and... again, I thought I was rooting kind of for Chris Paul in that one myself. But Yeah.
Why do you care?
Well, and maybe it was a State Farm insurance thing. I don't know. But let's take a quick flashback to Thursday. Let's talk about three-point contest, Grant, shall we? Should we talk about that for a minute? Sure. Let's go Legend in a Loudmouth flashback to last Thursday. Well, at least I was hoping it would be last Thursday, but... appears we have a brief technical problem here.
Of course you do.
Why would that happen? Anyway, yeah. I was hoping I would really be able to get this clip played, but... What? You don't like it when I have technical problems, do you?
Old man trying to use technology.
That's not quite I would...
Watching the text is enough.
Excuse me?
Watching you try to text is enough.
I don't think that's very nice.
Oh, yes, it is very nice.
Okay, I'm taking Curry because I will never get bet against Steph Curry.
I'm taking Booker.
Are you giving me money or is that...
No, I'm taking Booker.
Curry is not going to lose a three-point contest. No.
Clay beat him. Clay's beat him.
So you're taking Devin Booker?
Yes.
Okay. All right. There's no way that Curry's losing this. Okay.
Yep.
Now, in my defense, Devin Booker was hurt and did not end up playing in the three-point contest.
So you picked somebody else.
So I picked Zach LaVine. Why I did that, I have no idea.
So, as usual, the chalk holds. Yeah, that was not too... Although, he made it interesting at the end there. James Conley, you know how old he is? He's 200... Or Mike Conley.
His name was
James
Mike,
Conley?
James Conley.
Man, I need to get better with the names. I'm struggling.
Are you thinking like the Miami running back?
I was thinking of Mike Conley, I don't know what I was thinking there, but Mike Conley, older than dirt, gets 27 and pushes Curry to the, he makes the ball in the Mountain Dew zone or whatever the hell that's called. And then
I have a Mountain Dew right after that.
Yeah, and then manages to hit the last two to win it. So Steph Curry, as I figured, gets it. And then in the slam dunk championship held at halftime, Anfernee Simons?
Yep.
From Portland?
He got hops, apparently.
Never heard of him. Your boy Cassius finished third. My boy Obi finished second.
Never bet big men to win this dunk contest.
Well, he beat your guy. So.
Still, never bet them to win the dunk
contest. Yeah, I don't quite understand how that all worked out.
Big men just don't win them.
So, all in all, I've lost. The All-Star game has lost its luster for me. I really don't get that into it.
Well, it wasn't competitive. I mean, this year just
it never
wasn't.
Is.
Well, it was last year.
Well,
it was a great game last year.
Yeah, but you know that going into the last, I mean, these 45-foot three-pointers. I mean, it is interesting, though, and this is worthy of a topic for later discussion, but the game is now so different. It used to be you watched the NBA All-Star game and you thought, all these dunks are amazing. Now you're turning into watch them shoot threes. And I think it's a pretty fundamental change in basketball.
Remember in the early 2000s when they actually tried in the All-Star game? It was actually a pretty competitive game.
Remember when people used to shoot a mid-range jumper?
What's a mid-range jumper?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. If you look now, and again, you're a few years removed from the youth basketball scene, and so am I, but it's apparent. Kids don't pick up the ball. Who do you think they want to be?
Curry. Curry, Kobe, LeBron.
They want to be Curry. They don't want to be LeBron.
Or Kobe.
They don't want... Well...
Or Kobe.
Fine, but if you look... Modern-day living NBA active players, who do they want to be?
Curry.
They want to be Curry.
Is this where you're going to the discussion where... Would Shaq dominate in today's game?
No, that was a stupid discussion because Shaq wouldn't dominate.
Yes, he would. What are you talking about?
Shaq
wouldn't dominate in today's game.
No.
That's an absolute lie.
No.
Why wouldn't he dominate in today's
because
game?
I'm going to shoot right over him.
And I'm going to come right back down.
I'm going to make every three.
I'm going to come right back down, back your ass down, and get an and one on you.
Really? And then he's going to make the free throw? Really?
With Shaq?
Shaq's free throw percentage lifetime is what?
He's got 8 for 8 in some games. The Hack Shaq tactic didn't work at
all. I'll take 3 for 2 any day of the week.
I would take Shaq over any current today big man. He would Embiid, Jokic, Cat. I'll take Shaq.
And you would lose because all they're going to do is sit out there and shoot threes. That's all they're going to do.
I would take Shaq.
They're going to rain threes all over you. I would take Shaq any day. You would take Curry over Shaq.
I would take Shaq over Curry.
If you were going to start a team, you would take Shaq or Curry at their primes.
Shaq. Prime Shaq.
No.
He made an NBA big man look stupid.
How many powerful NBA big men that look like Shaq are in today's game?
Not any. But that's just the way the NBA's transitioned. We're gone,
zero.
We're gone from big, powerful centers to guys who can shoot from 60
feet. There's no freaking way that you're going to take a team.
So, I'm just saying, with Shaq dominating against Rudy Gobert or Embiid or Jokic or any of these today's centers.
Yeah, but
he beat every single one of them.
Yeah, but when I go down the floor and I throw up 3 points for Curry,
I'd throw up a lob to Shaq every time. I mean, it's guaranteed two getting the ball to Shaq.
It's almost a guaranteed three I get the ball to Curry.
Just to which one would
and be. I'm going to foul Shaq out of the game eventually.
Or you foul yourself out trying to stop Shaq.
Even so, but I have a distinct advantage of two things. One, there's only one of him. Okay? I got multiple three-point shooters outside of Curry. Second of all, if you get Shaq in any kind of foul trouble, he's screwed. Third, the man's lifetime career free throw percentage sucks. Okay? Sucks. I gotta look this up because I'm curious. What his lifetime free throw percentage was. Okay?
Below 40%.
I don't think it's that low. I think he's probably a 50-some percent free throw shooter, I bet. Shaquille O'Neal's free throw percentage for his career, 52.7%. Okay? All right. 52.7%. All right? Wow. That's horrible. Okay? Horrible. So, for every one of your and ones, he's going to miss one out of two. I'm going to get you on that one.
Give me Shaq.
Analytics.
That's why Shaq and Kobe are the most dominant duo of all time.
That's probably true, but you don't have that on in your drafted team here. Now, if it's all-star rules and he gets like Giannis or somebody like that, whoa, I don't know, we got a different discussion. But
we'll back Giannis down, too. I mean,
he might
back LeBron down, too. I mean, there's nobody who can stop a prime Shaq. David Timmy Duncan could stop Shaq.
Well, maybe that's the case, but how come he didn't win more titles if nobody could stop him? Yeah. Shrug your shoulders.
1-3 in a row.
Let's move on to the last story of the night. Big deals in Big D. Actually, it's just a good excuse to play this song.
I gave a suggestion for it, so thank you.
I was going to play that really lame Cowboys theme song that they have. Dak Prescott... 4 years, $160 million.
No, no, and more no.
Why did they do this?
He doesn't deserve that contract for one playoff win. One. This Carson has a ring. I don't know what Dak's got. Not a ring, last time I checked.
I'm confused by this. Now, you didn't need to sign him to that kind of level of deal.
You should have tagged him and then let him walk in free agency. That's what you should have done.
So $40 million, he's obviously the best quarterback in the division.
That's being generous.
Anybody would be. Because the other quarterbacks in the division are...
Taylor Heineke, Daniel Jones, and Jalen Hurts.
That's horrible. Okay? No way. I don't think... I'm not surprised it got done...
But just to go 500, that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you can't sign anybody else now.
Here's the thing about the Cowboys.
Good job, Dallas.
They should have won the division last year. They probably will this year.
I would pick Washington. Yes, I would.
Well, they don't have a quarterback yet.
Taylor Heineke.
He's not going to start.
Almost beat Brady.
Not going to start. Not going to be a 16-game start.
Going to beat Brady.
Delusional?
Pretty good. Okay. It's pretty good in that playoff. Giants
and Eagles aren't going anywhere. It's a bad division. You're guaranteed probably at least a division win if you are competent, which means you'll get in the playoffs.
And then get ousted in the first round.
I just don't see this turning out well. But, hey, you know what? They don't want to address the position for a while, and that takes another team out of the sweepstakes. But I just don't like it. He doesn't strike me as a guy who is just going to go out there and be like, "Yep, I am the guy that's going to get to the Super Bowl." And I don't see it happening.
What you should have done is traded Michael Gallup, but they refused to do that because Jerry is what gets me the best jersey sales. We get the most eyeballs on my team. Well, it's Dak Prescott and receivers.
Does that mean I got to watch more of those shitty chunky soup commercials that Dak Prescott
does? And their stupid pants, too.
Yeah.
I hate their pants. I've always hated to this day that stupid blue look on the pants.
Didn't realize that was a real big issue.
No, it annoys me.
Okay.
Wear white pants, for God's sake. Not hard.
I guess I did not expect that you would be that upset about that with regards to the pants.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, some definite anger issues that the legend is going to have to work out at this point, apparently. I did not realize the pants were going to be more of an issue than the quarterback himself. But
yep.
Anyway, well, almost tip time, which means we got to run. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows. And why Coastal Carolina still forever and always will suck, and they're out of the conference tournament, by the way. Grant, how do we find?
Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat @grantlegend1. Follow me on TikTok @grantlegend. And follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. That's legend_loudmouth_pod. DM us if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care. DM us, please subscribe to the channel.
We've got FCS previews Thursday. We'll talk about the Bison. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a Summit League championship. That remains to be seen. We'll recap the Summit League tournament, and we'll look into the FCS weekend, as well as looking forward to conference tournament weekend, March Madness. We got Selection Sunday coming up. Where did that come from all of a sudden? Too many things.
Bracketology on this show.
Too much time. Too many sports and so little time. We'll cover it all again Thursday night. Preview the weekend. I'm the Legend. I'm the Loudmouth. Take care, everybody.